Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. You know, over the past 2 days, we've been discussing seven deadly D-E-B-T-L-Y sins.
Like, don't go into deadly.
So let's do a brief review. Number one, my background, circumstances, and surroundings determine my financial destiny. Mm. Here are seven reasons why your background, circumstances, and surroundings
do not
determine your destiny. First, you're not on a fixed income.
That's right.
Second, eliminate the poverty mentality. Third, gain the victory over the victim complex. Fourth, stop making negative confessions. Fifth, stop looking to them and begin looking to Him. Sixth, don't insult God by denying His word with the words of your mouth. And seventh, be careful about whom you are searching with. So let's move on to the second deadly sin.
If you have missed that first, you've missed a lot. So
yes,
please go to the blogs on haroldherring.com and collect that information. It will do you good. Number two, I can't afford to tithe and give offerings. James 4:17 in the Classic Amplified says, "So any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him it is sin." If God tells us to give our tithes and our offerings, which he does, then to not tithe and give offerings is a deadly sin. It's going to cause you trouble. Malachi 3:10, Classic Amplified says, "Bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Tithing is not a conditional and not based on circumstances or your needs at any given time. There is no asterisk at the bottom of that page that exempts you from tithing if you lost your job or your hours were cut back or you need to repair that car. If the clothes in your closets and the car you drive and the couch you're sitting on and the computer you're looking at or the house you're living in or the phone you're using have caused you to tithe irregularly, then the windows of heaven are closed over your life. That's just exactly what the Word of God says, not just what Bev or Harold say. When we tithe, the windows of heaven are open. When we don't tithe, they remain closed. So why are the windows of heaven closed until you tithe? To keep the thieves out. Listen, Malachi 3:8 says so in the Classic Amplified. "Will a man rob or defraud God? Yet you rob and defraud me. But you say, in what way have we robbed or defrauded you? You have withheld your tithes and offering." What does a robber do? He or she steals from people. Exodus 20:15, Ten Commandments. One of them says, "Thou shalt not steal." 20:15. Stealing what doesn't belong to you makes you a thief. However, when you do what God says, when you give tithes and offerings, then you are positioning yourself, because God put it in the Word for you to position yourself, to be blessed by God, which is like a mega harvest from your Heavenly Father. When we give our tithes and offerings, He will open the windows of heaven. And He's said right in His Word that He will pour you, not somebody else, but you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I don't know about you, but I got some pretty good big rooms in our house. And even if we only had one room shack, that'd still hold a lot of blessings. There's only one place in the Scripture where God says to prove me or put me to the test. And that is in Malachi when it comes to giving and receiving. But I could hear almost somebody say, "Honey, well, you know, when has He blessed me? Look, you have no idea how many times He probably has blessed you. When did He have that car that almost hit you swerve off to and miss you? When did you..." We don't know how many things the Lord has saved us from. And those are the blessings of God. How many times have you been, you know, something happened and, you know, and it was a near miss, or that you had something open up that was a total blessing that you weren't even expecting. Malachi 3:10 reads in the Message Bible, "Test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams." Blessings can be lots of money, but blessings can also be favor and avoiding things that didn't, or having things happen that were wonderful. It's beyond our wildest dreams.
Or, as you and I know, walking away from an accident.
Yeah, that's right. When it could have killed us. If really could have killed us. Let us tell you that God made us dreamers. A believer who will take him at his word is a dreamer. You got to know God provides for those who are obedient. However, you also have to know that something is out of balance when you work 40 hours a week to see a paycheck disappear in less than a couple hours. If you're not tithing, then the devourer creates a vanishing act for your money.
That's
right. Have you ever noticed that? What you do have, what you get from your employer, retirement plan, or any other source that you, you know, may be collecting from, can be gone quicker than we could, like grandma's banana pudding when the rest of us are sitting down to eat it. You know, you got to know your financial sins will catch up with you.
That's right. Number three. It's too good a bargain to pass up. If you can't afford it, it's not a bargain.
That's right.
It's definitely a deadly sin to spend money you don't have on a bargain. You either don't need or need at the moment. Proverbs 21:20, the Living Bible. A wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. There will always be a bargain. In the history of the universe, one bargain is always replaced by another.
That's it. Number four, living from paycheck to Prozac.
You know, honey, if memory serves me correctly, I was speaking at a Chicago, Illinois debt-free rally. And my friends at the time, still my friend, Laurel is, Randy's now in heaven. But they were in the audience, and God said to me, teach my children how to stop living from paycheck to Prozac. I've now spoken that message all over the world and live to hear others quote the words as if they were their own.
Well, who's to know?
Regardless, all wisdom comes from God.
That's right.
Speaking of godly wisdom, 1 Timothy 6:10-11. 1 Timothy 6:10-11, classic Amplified Bible. For the love of money is the root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have been led astray and wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many acute mental pangs. When does the world recommend?
What does the world recommend for acute mental pangs, honey?
Prozac.
That's it.
When the pressure of life becomes more than you can tolerate or handle, what remedy do doctors recommend?
Prozac.
When your money continually runs out before the month does, where does most people turn for mental relief? Prozac. Sadly, most families in the United States are two paychecks away from financial disaster. The average working mom only spends 40 minutes a week playing with her children. If a person is not rooted and grounded in the Word, they look for emotional relief, many with Prozac. Psalm 119:143, New Living Translation. As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. Mm. The word will not eliminate stress from attacking you, but it will destroy it. 1 Thessalonians 3:7, classic Amplified, is another stress reliever.
Hallelujah, stress
reliever. And it says, brethren, for this reason, in spite of all of our stress and crushing difficulties, we've been filled with comfort and cheer about you because of your faith, the leaning of your whole personality on God, complete trust and confidence.
Here are seven more effective ways than Prozac in dealing with stress in your personal life. First, spend more time in the Word and God's presence. I'm telling you, I realize you may have wanted us to give you a bottle with a genie in it. But this is better than that.
Yes, it is.
And be assured, having more money will not in itself solve problems. But time with God will give you peace that passes all understanding.
Hallelujah.
Every answer to your question, to every stress, is found in God's Word.
Yes.
Truly it is.
Second, communicate without playing the blame game. talk to your spouse and or your children about what's going on. Make sure that everybody understands from your perspective. The most important thing is not fixing the blame, but rather the problem. It's time to forget the mistakes of the past.
Third, exercise free will, your mind, and liberate your body. When you exercise, you release endorphins, which refreshes and renews your body. That really helps you to get the stress that's in your mind and your mental out through physical activity, even going for a walk. Fourth, eat properly. Unfortunately, financial stress adversely affects our eating habits. Sometimes my husband and I barely get lunch or don't get lunch at all, unfortunately, because we just have people after us all the time. People tend to then, they get really hungry, they tend to binge on cookies or Ben and Jerry's or, you know, ice cream or, and undereat like sometimes we do, not have anything. Have something around that's helpful, healthy and helpful so you can grab something on the run. Neither extreme is really conducive to good health. Discipline yourself to eat at regular times and to eat healthy.
Yep. Fifth, sleep right. During financial stress, people either have trouble sleeping or sleep way too much. Neither options are good. If you have trouble going to sleep, find something that will relax you. Listening to soothing music or reading a book.
For heaven's sakes, don't watch the nightly news.
Well, I've found that praying for folks while in bed put me to sleep faster than any sleep aid. Artificial. Hallelujah.
Use the natural ones.
That's it. If you want to do it.
The Word of God.
Use the natural ones.
Six, guard your heart. During times of financial stress, the enemy will try to, you know, place it that in your stress in your daily life. A sympathetic ear from someone other than your spouse. Make sure you don't fall into traps like that. Over the years, millions of people have strayed and found divorce at the end of their road. Talk to your spouse. Work through situations you're facing. Seek counsel if you need it.
Seventh, shake up your routine. Develop a new inexpensive hobby, doing something you wouldn't normally do.
Yeah.
Like you said earlier, honey, go for a walk.
With your spouse.
That's it. We like that. We like going for rides.
Yeah. Spend time on the drive to a lake, sit on the hood of your car, watch the sun go down. Look, talk about life and not stressful situations. Wow, we ran out of town quickly.
Yes, we did. We'll continue with the remaining deadly sins tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And in... Have a, well, you say happy trails.
That's it.
That's it. And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God, and we will join you again tomorrow.
Absolutely.
God bless you, and have a great day.
Amen.